Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Comfort, relief. These are all things we're familiar with in our daily lives, including our lives here on campus. I remember for me personally, the last time they had hot wings at the cafeteria, they had the Atomic Hot Sauce Challenge. Now, I was one of those poor, unfortunate souls who took the challenge, put it on my wing, took a bite, and found I had made a very bad mistake as my mouth was now on fire. Luckily, I had a drink nearby, so I was able to take a drink and get some relief. Or here's something we're probably all familiar with. One bleak winter term, and during those frantic final weeks where there's paper after paper, assignment after assignment, and we wonder, will we ever be able to get all this done? Until finally, mercifully, the last day of the term comes, and it's over. We made it. Comfort. Relief. Now, of course, seeing as this is a seminary, and I'm in a chapel pulpit, my time here will not be complete until I mention the comfort of comforts that was in our reading for today, where it says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." It's a relief. Our eternal life is taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. We're not walking around with a pen or a paper or a smartphone app open, tabulating, will God send us to heaven? Will he send us to hell? No. It's taken care of in Christ. It's nothing we have to worry about. For as it is written, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." So says the apostle of our Lord, and he would know. So we have it from the highest possible authority that's taken care of. We're off the hook. That is wonderful news. Even if sometimes it can get a little, well, pedestrian. What I mean by that is here we are near the end of almost another academic year. For an entire year, we have pored over Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. We've absorbed it in like a sponge. And like any good news, sometimes it can get old sometimes. Sometimes we come to chapel not with the attitude of, all right, learning more about Jesus Christ and what he's done, yeah. Sometimes it's like, well, chapel's here, I better go. And we're like, well, Jesus, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know you're loving and forgiving, so I'm sorry, so please forgive me. Okay. Now, that's not the best attitude to have about chapel. In fact, sometimes it gets even worse and we get even cringier as we think, oh, man, I got to go to chapel again. Come on, I'm busy. I'll go. Come on, let's make this snappy. Come on. All right, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. All right, thanks. Bye. Now, that attitude is terrible. This is God we're talking about, not some seminary prof, not some synodical official whom we rightfully respect, but this is God, the one on whose throne on the last day he sits. We'll be before him. We'll give testimony. We will give witness to everything we've done in our life and in our ministry. We'll give an account. And it'll be in excruciating detail. Every sin, every error, everything we just don't want to look at will be there for Jesus Christ to see. Now, how he will respond to our errors and our sins in our lives and in our ministry? Like this. You're forgiven. Go in peace. Because that's who he is. It's the gospel of the loving, merciful God, Jesus Christ. He still loves us. He still forgives us. And to that awesome, awesome gospel, what is oftentimes our response? Meh. That's right. Meh. The response of bland indifference. So in that way, what we often complain about our parishioners, we're guilty of ourselves. We complain they're so caught up in their own lives and what's going on. They're ignorant of the awesome gift of love of God that is in Jesus Christ. No matter how much we preach, no matter how much we teach and prepare, all that stuff goes in one ear and out the other. Only to find out that the same flaw exists in us. For those of us in the pastoral office and those of us training for it, all our training and work does not rid us of our hypocrisy. There are times when we're just as indifferent to love of God that is in Christ as the people we complain about. And as our indifference dawns on us, so also begins to dawn fear. The fear that comes from reading verses 5 and 6, which says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." So if our minds are not set on the Spirit, on God, in Jesus, and what he's done, that leaves only one alternative, that our minds are on the flesh. Indeed, that is terrifying, because the text is clear. The flesh leads to death. There's no arguing the point. That's what it says. So after we read that, doubt begins to tap us on the shoulder. Hey, come here. How do you really know that you have faith in Christ, that you are saved? I mean, if God moved heaven and earth to save you, which, by the way, he did, shouldn't you be more, enthusiastic about it? I think your lack of passion really means that you don't really know Jesus Christ, that you're not really saved, are you? So now that our doubts have assailed us, we're left frantic, clawing for any source of comfort we can find, anything. Well, that comfort does come, but it's nothing that we of our own reason and strength grab hold of. Rather, it's something that Jesus Christ placed into our hands. Our comfort comes to the aforementioned quote of verse 3, which says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." You see, God knows that in our minds and in our hearts, we're not capable of reconciling ourselves to him. We just can't. It's not humanly possible that we do what he requires of us. So God bypasses our human weakness in reconciling us to him. God enters the world incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ takes all our sins and all the rightful punishment for those sins upon to himself. He does it by allowing himself to be nailed to that cross and thus giving up his life. This pays for our punishment, both temporal and eternal. And that same Christ, having given up his life, rightfully takes it up again and walks out of the empty tomb to a new life that he invites all of us to, a life that is eternal and that is worth living here on earth. He does this not by dangling salvation in front of us and saying, "Come on, grab it, hoping we grab it and hold on to it as hard as you can or else you'll lose it and let go of it. No, he brings us to faith by means that are outside of us, that are not affected by our emotions and our thoughts. So when we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the water and the word create saving faith in us. That faith is grown when we hear the word of God from this pulpit and that lectern. And that faith is only further galvanized whenever we meet Jesus Christ in his body and the blood at that altar. So our salvation in Christ is not halfway. We are not saved so as long as we can hold on to it or think or feel the right thing about it. Rather, we are saved because of Christ and the foolproof means he has given us to come to faith and stay in the faith. It's idiot-proof. We cannot change up our thoughts and our emotions, so our Lord saves us, not just people in general, but us. Hypocrites that we may be, indifferent as we may be, he still saves us because that's how loving he is. Our thoughts and feelings cannot affect Jesus Christ and what he does. In fact, Christ and his gospel and his love can best be described as a hurricane. Now, of course, Christ is every bit as constructive as a hurricane is destructive, but a hurricane goes where it will and does what it does. No amount of thinking, hoping, or wishing is going to change that. So it is with Christ. He's unstoppable. We can't change him by how we think or feel. All the more reason to thank him and praise him for what he has done among us. Amen. Now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds to Christ Jesus, our Lord, to life everlasting. Peace be with you.